Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Hey, Brad.
What's up, Adam?
Oh, dude, you know, just feeling real chill.
You look good, you feel good.
Oh, and when you look good and you feel good, you pod good.
Darn right. And what's the best way that we can pod good?
Put Koi CBD in your body.
It's so great. I'm so glad that these guys jumped on as the sponsors. CBD oil is the hottest thing in health right now. You watch the news. Every day there's a new study about how good this stuff is.
Oh, yeah.
And the benefits of it.
We're one press conference away from Trump being like, this is why my cheeseburgers taste so good. They've got Koi CBD oil in them. CBD, if you don't know what it is, it's not weed. That's a big misconception. It's an oil derived from an industrial hemp plant that has no psychoactive effects. So you get the medical benefits from the hemp plant without getting the high, man. It's a great natural alternative to over-the-counter and pharmaceutical drugs. Now, there's a lot of uses for CBD oil.
Absolutely.
Creams, tinctures, vapes, gummies, which Koi all provides. I fuck with the gummies every morning because it starts my day off with a very relaxed, chill, meditative. I just feel dialed in. There's got to be something in these gummies that also, you know, gives your brain an extra level of coherentness. Is that the word?
Well, because you probably took
it makes you make up words.
You took a gummy before you said that. That's for sure. And I do the same thing, but I have the oils. I just take the CBD oil. I put it in my tea, and then I'm good to go for
You're
the rest
a tea guy
of the day.
Now. Is that from being married?
I mean, I don't know what it is.
Tea is great though.
I'm a tea guy because it makes me feel good. And CBD oil, Koi CBD oil, makes me feel even better. They got all sorts of flavors. They got
the flavors?
They got peppermint. They got lemon lime. They got blue raspberry. They got all these different things.
They are the fruity pebbles of CBD oil. People use it too for pain, anxiety, inflammation. My mom uses the Koi topical creams for arthritis, and she straight up told me, she's like, I don't hurt like I hurt before.
That's a great slogan.
And I'm like, that is so honest and real, and that's coming from a Jewish mom. Yeah. And as you said, they don't lie.
This stuff works so well. I'm scared to rub the lotion on me because I think it might cure my dwarfism. And then what the fuck am I going to joke about?
Well, Koi CBD, all these products are manufactured in the USA with 100% natural CBD oil. It's the best tasting product on the market, as we've attested to the flavors. We've tried a bunch. People have come to us all the time trying to be like, yo, can we sponsor? We haven't found the one we've liked until now. And they're America's number one trusted CBD brand. All the products are THC free. And it's a family-owned and operated company. And if you want to fuck with Koi, which you should because we do, and we can't talk about how much we love their products enough, the gummies, the tinctures, the creams, the tinctures, the drops. Dude, I put a couple drops in before I go to bed. And it also makes it easier to drink coffee because coffee gives me a little bit of anxiety.
Yep.
Now it calms me down. So I love that. If you want it, go to KoiCBD.com right now. Put in promo code AboutLastNight, all one word, all caps, for 20% off any retail order from the website. KoiCBD.com, promo code about last night for 20% off the order. Start feeling good, start living good, start looking good, start dwarfing good.
Start dwarfing good.
The official dwarf sponsor.
Koi is the official CBD sponsor of dwarves. Can I say that? I'm pretty sure.
You've got proof.
I'm a dwarf. I'll bring it up at the next meeting.
And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Hey guys, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Monday. What an episode today. The one and only John Rudnitsky returns to the pod for his third time, I think. He has a new show on Hulu called Catch 22, starring and produced by George Clooney. Great cast. The hot dude from Friday Night Lights is on it. Kyle Chandler, I think. And John Rudnitsky. You know him from SNL. You know him from Home Again. Conan. He just was on Conan. Had a great bit in his stand-up that went viral. John's the man. And he comes by to talk about everything Catch-22. And his new dating life. And being in LA. And great Clooney stories. It's just, you know, a riff city with John. He's the best. That's why we love him. And have him on anytime. Go watch this full episode on YouTube. On the About Last Night YouTube channel. And follow John on Twitter and Instagram at John Rudnitsky. Me at Adam Ray Comedy. At Funny Brad. At ALN Podcast. This week I'm in Los Angeles for shows all week. So come out and see me. tomorrow at the Laugh Factory, Friday at the Comedy Store, and the Laugh Factory Thursday and Friday at the Long Beach Laugh Factory, Saturday at the Laugh Factory, and then next Monday at the Laugh Factory. And Brad is in San Francisco on Friday, June 7th at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Fran, June 7th. Go see Brad. Tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. All my ticket info at adamraycomedy.com. Of course, get my album, Read the Room, out on Amazon, Google Play, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get audio. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for past and present eps and Aylin merch. ShopAdamRay.com for Adam Ray merch. And make sure you're subscribed on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you get podcasts, because we got so many great eps coming up. We got John DiMaggio, the voice of Bender from Futurama, the Super Trooper guys, Kevin Heffernan and Steve Lemmy, as well as Adam Devine and Pete Lee and Melissa Villaseñor. So stay tuned, all right? Now that we've got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with our buddy John Rudnitsky.
Well, the weekend's over and it's time to chat about it.
It's time to chat about it.
Got a midget and a juice, so why don't you sit down?
And so why don't you sit down and
listen to our dope podcast.
To our dope
whether
podcast.
Lunch, dinner, or breakfast.
Lunch, dinner, or breakfast.
Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of day. So
come over and treat yourself right. It's about last night. Come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Right. Well, come on and treat yourself right.
It's about last night.
So come on and treat yourself right.
It's about last night.
Were you in second act?
Yeah, dude. How dare you?
Yeah?
Yeah, dude. I had three pivotal scenes that J-Lo herself said were pivotal.
Come on.
Yeah, come on. Talk about it on the mic.
I gotta watch.
J-Lo stories are not to be left on the cutting room floor.
I gotta watch it.
Yeah, I mean, you should watch it anyway, just because it's a J-Lo rom-com.
You're in a J-Lo rom-com. How did I not know this?
I don't know, because I didn't do press for it. You do press when you're in a Clooney Hulu show. You don't do press when you got four lines and three scenes. Although, it was supposed to be two lines and one scene.
I think I auditioned for this role.
Did you?
Oh,
yeah,
snap.
I think I auditioned for this role for sure.
Well,
now we have a
what's
feud.
He works in the office?
No, he's one of the technicians, I guess the lab technician. He helps J-Lo make some cream for people's faces.
That could be interpreted differently. sorry to make that kind of joke in front of your mother, John.
No, she loves it.
By the way, you always come bearing gifts in the forms of people.
Yes, that's true. Last time I brought Jake.
Yeah.
This time I'm bringing my mother.
Yes.
I'm taking it up a notch this time.
Next time you come in, your wife. You're not married yet, but you will be. You're going to make that happen.
Okay, fine.
That's going to be the selling point to the girl you're dating is, yeah. Hey, man, we really got to settle this.
Speed this up because I'm doing Adam and Brad's podcast, and I promised.
Yeah, could we go
that
to...
I would be married by then.
We go to Vegas, do a little drive-through wedding thing going on.
I know we just matched on Tinder, but if we can speed this up.
Yeah,
your days of the online dating are no more.
No more?
Yeah.
No more, no. I'm living with a gal now.
You're living with her.
Yeah, she
okay.
She moved in. So who knows? I might be able to make that happen.
All right. So let's go. Let's go full Howard Stern and go. Okay. So you're living with a girl. You're living with a girl. Does the sex increase? Does it not? How much you fucking?
I love that.
That was my first attempt at a Howard Stern impression.
That was great.
I don't know if it was that good.
I liked it.
Wait, what? You've been dating for how long now?
We've been dating for a little over a year.
Ooh.
And we matched on one of the apps.
Right.
Okay, which app?
It's Raya.
Raya, the celebrity dating
really
app.
Wait, I can never get on that one.
So that's the celebrity Tinder.
Kind of. She's not a celebrity. It's just, I don't know. It's some
and then
sort of
you're the celebrity? No, of course you are. That's why you're here.
When I got on SNL, they were like, there's a dating app just for people on SNL or whatever.
And you're bang Victoria Jackson.
Wait, but it's pretty much, I mean, there's some pretty crazy people on there as far as like,
Like legit celebrities.
Right? Yeah. There were some famous people on
like,
there.
Did you ever match with like Halle Berry or something like that?
I did not. I didn't match with anybody really famous. I matched with like probably a couple people on The Bachelorette or something like that. You know, The Bachelor.
Hey, that's fame in some some states.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's weird. I just found out that a girl that I dated right before my wife is now on that. What's it on? It's
Celebrity Rehab.
Fox, Paradise Island.
Oh God!
Where, like, I don't know what that is. That's like Bachelor in Paradise,
kinda their version of that, but it's Fox, so it's a little trashier.
Right? It's like we don't know these.
It's
people,
not but... so much strawberries and candles.
No,
and
it's
like,
just straight fucking.
It's just straight fucking. It's just like, hey, welcome to straight fucking this week on Fox.
Oh my
straight
God!
Straight fucking.
Is that what Big Brother was too? Essentially,
I think they tried to do that. They tried to, and then people started having like debates about racial equality, and they're like, guys, hold on, can we go straight to the fucking guys, but we're talking about how the United States has to decrease its foreign policy. Get the fucking,
get the fucking, let's speed this up.
Yeah, there's something about that show that has still not registered with me. I guess just a bunch of strangers living in a house.
You loved The Real World.
Yeah, I did. But yeah, that was, you know, that was when we didn't
that
have
was the best.
Options. You know?
That was the best. That was the introduction.
Also, the people were better.
Yeah.
The people, yeah. I think the Real World casting does a better job than Big Brother.
Their casting was always like, I mean, it seems easy and basic now, but like they're always like, okay, we found a gay guy and a guy who doesn't like gay people. Let's put them
in a bunk bed.
And guess what? He's Jewish and black, or maybe just really Italian and tan. We'll find out this season.
We have someone who doesn't believe you should have sex until you're married,
and we have
with someone who's fucking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of fucking. I don't know why I went straight Josh Adam Myers with that. A lot of fucking.
That's a good Josh.
I got them Johnny legs, y'all.
That's very good.
I'm just doing his bits now.
Yeah, there's would you ever go on a reality show?
No.
Dancing with the Stars, I feel like, is probably waiting in the wings for you.
That's true.
But
I guess if things go, if I do well enough at some point and then not well for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when you do it, it seems.
You do
it.
Yeah, I guess that means you got to a place where
you do need that arc.
You can just like do something bad too, I feel like, and end up on Dancing with the Stars.
Fuck yeah.
Sure.
Can't you just be like a pseudo celebrity who gets like pulled over for, you know.
Listen, I'm on a like cop a cam. Pulled over.
Yeah,
and
then you become famous for that, and then you can get Dancing with the Stars.
I urinated on the cop while singing the Baby Shark song.
Yeah.
And then
I also was a guest star on Young Sheldon, but it's because I took my dick out at a playground that everybody knows my name, right?
Sure, exactly.
Yeah. And to be clear, this is all hypothetical.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
In case
you haven't
people start the podcast in the middle.
So John.
Dick out.
Where was the park exactly?
So, John, when you took your dick out, and let's be honest, this is the podcast where you've come to apologize for taking your dick out.
Oh, God. Oh, I'm really nervous.
No. John is not.
It's very easy to quickly ruin your career, you know?
Did you find that there was, like, you know, people ask comics all the time, like, after the Louis thing, like, you know, do you feel now afraid to talk about, like, did you feel any of that backlash or any sort of apprehension to talk about something that you might feel like could be perceived as not even just too edgy, but like where you're like, all right, the audience, maybe people need to
like the time you took your dick out. Like, were you hesitant to talk about that at all?
I should have been more hesitant to take my dick out.
Brad's just jealous because there's a whole production when he has to take his out. The pants go down.
Oh God,
he brings
a whole
in fluffers.
I need assistance.
Yeah.
I can't. I can't just
you
drop
never
it.
Need an extra hand. You know.
The ass is too big. The pants can't just fall. You know, if I had a nice flat ass.
No, you just need tearaways.
I mean, I need tearaways, and then I need that one song playing. Dun 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 dun.
I imagine this is what's happening at your house in Van Nuys.
Yeah, that's not what's happening.
Yeah,
you don't jump into the bedroom by pulling off tearaway sweats.
I mean, I think I should now.
Yeah,
I think that
mix it up a little.
It should be a whole production. Hey, have you ever seen the movie Bring It On? Let's reenact that dance scene right now
with all little people.
If enough people like call in, that doesn't happen. on the podcast. If enough people write in,
you'll
do it.
Oh, I'm gonna be having a GoFundMe page.
raise money for the
GoFund my sex tearaway pants.
Has there been a dwarf bringing on like even porn parody or remake in the works? Because
I was just gonna ask that.
Or like on ESPN3, you know, those cheerleading championships.
Yeah,
like, has there ever been a
listen, man, we got some stuff in the works. I was at a meeting last week. And now, see, here's the thing. Now,
it's the tossing that scares me.
Now that Game of Thrones is done, we are all vying for that top dwarf spot. Dinklage is out.
You think Dinklage is out just because the show's out?
We're all fighting. We're all fighting now because we're like, the king is dead. There needs to be a new king. Right now, it's me and Wee Man. Yeah. We're neck and neck. But you never know. There could be a dark horse dwarf, which is a great name for a racehorse.
Dark horse dwarf.
All right, that's dark horse dwarf coming up the left side. Dark horse dwarf really hugging the rail.
I wouldn't put money on him.
He's a dark horse.
Have you ever bet on horses? You seem like a guy that would get invited to go do that, not know anything about it, and make the rich guys laugh, and then they end up like giving you a lot of play money.
My mother's here. We went horseback riding.
But I'm talking about horse betting.
Yeah.
Oh, horse betting.
I'm talking about going to like the Emerald Downs or the
Churchill Downs.
Churchill Downs.
I think I went with Julian McCullough once, actually.
Nice. Yeah?
Yeah. When I opened for him in Minnesota, we went to a track. But I vaguely remember because that was the same week I got SNL, so I don't really remember.
Oh, so there were slightly bigger things in the works.
I can't really remember the horse part of it.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, thank you for being our first guest in the new digs, man.
It looks great.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, you're
still coming together, but
popping the cherry.
I love what you've done with the place. I now know you were in second act. I'm going to watch it.
It's only there for that.
You made fresh cream for J-Lo.
Yep. You now know we're sponsored by Koi CBD.
Yeah, look at that. Wow.
So you can get
You get sponsored? You're sponsored by them.
Yeah.
We can get the best CBD in the biz.
Yeah.
Gummies, tinctures, Koi. Creams. Yeah. Creams that Adam Ray may have made in second act.
Yeah. I mean, why do you think J-Lo was smiling so much in that movie?
She was high as fuck.
Yeah.
High on Koi.
Just
on
kidding. Koi. She wasn't high because there's no THC in it.
Yes. There is.
Just calming.
And
it's an important distinction.
The last time I saw you, I didn't know this was a part of a press tour. I just thought you're friends with the coach from Friday Night Lights, Kyle Chandler.
Kyle Chandler is in Catch 22.
Yes, your new show on Hulu.
In my new show on Hulu, and he lives in Austin, Texas.
Okay.
So I told him I was coming down there for a show.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Well, I'm coming." Shows. And so I'm so nervous because I got coached. I'm a huge Friday Night Lights fan.
Yeah.
I grew up watching.
What do you love
show.
About it? I mean, your reenactment of the big game on Conan was like priceless. And
Thank
I feel
you.
Like in every other episode of that show, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
A moment like that.
It was from that show that I did that.
Yeah.
And then I did a Friday Night Lights bit on Conan, for those who haven't seen it. And then
that's brilliant.
And then Kyle Chandler came to see my set, and so he got to see me do the Friday Night Lights
Whoa.
Bit.
Whoa. Now, are Austin. You extra nervous, being like, this is the guy that inspired the bit, watching the bit?
100%. I was really nervous. I really wanted him to be involved in the Conan set, too, though. I wanted him to come out and
have a headset on and just come out and slow do that coach move.
And give me a hug.
Do the coach move where you put your hands on your knees. You're like, it all comes down to this.
Yeah, you pick up the clipboard and you say something underneath it, I guess. So Kyle was in the show, and I was... I mean, we got along on set, but that was the most we ever hung out was in Texas when he came. I mean, because it was a festival. I had three shows. He came with me to all three shows. We took shots in between
show. I must have got you after your second show because you guys were both really happy.
Yeah, we were so happy. We were hammered.
I'm a fan of the guy as well. Of course, he's the investigator in Wolf of Wall Street and
Bloodline.
Yeah, does all this stuff. And then I'm seeing this guy, and I'm just like, look at Rudnitsky.
Hanging with Coach. I mean, I looked up to him so much.
And it turns out to
hang out with him.
And he's a great guy.
He's everything you'd want Kyle Chandler to be. Like,
First of all, we
go to get a drink, and he's like, well, let's get the jerky, on the menu. It's like, there's like beef jerky. He's like, let's order a bit of the jerky. And then we're like drinking cocktails, eating beef jerky at this, like, the oldest hotel in Austin, Texas. I'm like, this is... doesn't get more Texas than this.
Yeah.
I'm with Kyle. And he starts telling stories about Friday Night Lights. And at one point, he's, you know, he said, you know, there were a lot of fires going on down in Texas while I was shooting down there. And I volunteered for the fire department. So I'm like, he's coaching the Dillon Panthers and putting out fires.
He's the most. Did you feel less of a man? Because I'm feeling like a pussy right now hearing about this.
100%. Yeah. Like, that is so gratifying to know that that's what he is. That's what he's doing. You know.
My God.
He even said he goes, you know, I almost didn't go to the Emmys because of the fires. You know, because the fires that were going on. And I was like, but you won the Emmy. And he's like, I know. Could you imagine how good the press would have been if I didn't friggin' go? I'm like, Kyle Chandler can't be here to accept his award. He's too busy rescuing kitties and babies from burning buildings. Yeah.
Did he answer a lot of Friday night questions? Did you like?
Well, no, but when we walked around town, like, people would come up because he's like kind of a hometown hero.
Sure.
At one of the bars we got a shot at, the brother was like, you might not remember, but I was an extra in, you know, season two.
Did he remember?
Yeah, he's like, of course, yeah, good to see you.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, because he doesn't fucking remember. Like, nobody, like, an extra in season two.
He doesn't watch, I mean, like, I don't know if, like, he watches all of his stuff. He's, like, that cool of a guy where he's, like, not really into the, like, he, like, lives on a farm in Texas.
Just trying to keep that whole life. He's, like, I feel like he's, like,
fixing a radio probably most of the time.
He's, like, he's somehow restoring a wagon, you know?
Always restoring a wagon.
It's just, like, he's got a nice wood finish on that. It's like him and Nick Offerman just call each other and talk about wood, but not in a sexy way. But it becomes sexy because it's those guys talking about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're like, I'm working on a canoe right now, Kyle. What are you doing? And he's like, doing a wagon.
Doing a wagon, you know. Yep, did my wagon last week.
Just man stuff
where
I'm like calling people like, hey, could someone come paint this wall? Like, I can't.
I'm useless.
Crap.
I've never been to a Home Depot.
You can't do any of that.
I can't do. I couldn't build Legos as a kid.
Well, that's something I wouldn't announce on a podcast ever again. At least lie and say you could do that. And isn't it funny how that does translate to
when
you get older?
I feel like
it
does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you put, were you a Lincoln Logs guy or just a straight up? Do you know what those are?
No, what are Lincoln Logs?
There you go. What were you buying this kid as a child?
Barbies.
There we go. Plays with Barbies.
That's why John has no genitalia, which is why he could take his dick out because he just pulled it down. Nothing there. Yeah, nothing there.
I am a Ken doll.
By the way, quick tangent. Can you imagine if they ever do just go, you know what? Fuck it. Like, Barbie's got boobs. It's time that Ken is also bringing something to the party. And they go ahead and attach a little Ken penis, like a little, maybe a big one. We don't know. Ken seems like a pretty fucking put together guy.
He should be back at some.
He's with Barbie, right?
Yeah.
Like, are they just?
Barbie's got 32,000 jobs. She's a doctor. She's a veterinarian. She's a lawyer.
She's also got
drives
a
Ferrari.
He's just like a dickless, Aryan.
Dickless, homeless, just piece of shit.
That is not what I wanted when I wanted a dream of a man.
Wow. Thank you for coming in, Brad, for the role of Ken. We will not be going in that direction.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I just thought Ken would seem to be very angry and third Reichy.
Yeah,
he does. Yeah. Not quite alt-right.
But was Kyle really great with fans coming up to him and just...
Yeah. He was great, but he goes, people do get aggressive. You know, people can be a little, you know, so if we get in a fight, just know I'm going to run. And that, I thought that was like, that made me feel better because I'm like, oh, maybe he's not just a man. He's also like a real guy. He's like, so we're running.
I thought
he'd want to like throw down.
But see, yeah, Kyle seems like the guy where he would be in the fight, finish the fight, come back, sit down at the table and go, so what were we talking about? He'd have that move.
Breaks the glass over his head. He's like, where'd my drink go?
Yeah. And all of a sudden there's a ding. You weren't even chewing.
Yeah.
Is he a guy that on the show you... First of all, how did you take us through the audition process?
Yeah, this show is huge.
It's a big show.
Catch 22 on Hulu.
I'll say this. I haven't watched sat down and gotten into a show. And also, I know that all the episodes are available, right? You can stream all of it now?
Yes. Yeah. All six episodes on Hulu.
I like the idea of like taking your time with a show and looking forward to stuff. And yeah, binging. Look, I'll probably, you know, I got through 1.5 eps. And by the way, a show to hook you right away, like... I think there's just so much stuff now, and we're all so ADD. Like, dude, this show from the get-go, like, the first three scenes are just, like, everything you want in it. You get enough Clooney, you get an intro to all the characters, and you get, like, action. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
It's really just like a, oh, man, I have no option but to watch All of this, if it wasn't so late, I probably would have. But again, I like the idea of like breaking it up. And I'm, you know, going to Seattle this week, and I'm looking forward to like having a night when I get home from the shows to watch a couple more. You know what I'm saying?
I love that. I love that.
And I think that's how it should be done. Quickly, too. I know. Yeah, it's an easy watch.
It's an easy watch. Every episode is like 40 to 45 minutes.
The writing is like...
The writing's really incredible.
If you're a fan... of like Clooney when he's in those Coen Brothers movies, where like
he's tapping into that for sure.
Intolerable Cruelty type writing where it's just boom, 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 boom. Then the show is for you because the writing's really sweet.
Luke Davies and David Michaud, who wrote it. Luke Davies wrote Lion, so he's okay. like an Oscar nominated guy. And David Michaud wrote Animal Kingdom.
Wow.
Okay, that's a
directing,
huge. Yeah, that's a huge show.
This new movie with Timothy Chalamet, the king, or you know. Mm-hmm. So
what if you were like these guys wrote Geely and Air Bud 6 and they just somehow and figured
just,
it out
they just clicked
they just clicked
they were able to who knew adapt
yeah. who knew was like 22. We're gonna roll the dice
yeah and let these... they're just big World War II buffs yeah. and they just that's how they got it right
yeah. who would have thunk it
that's where they had Air Bud Nazi Germany waiting in the wings but they just couldn't get people to jump on board and fund it.
Why does the golden retriever have to be gold?
Oh my God, Ken's back.
How did you get this part?
Like, I sent in a tape, actually, and that's it, really. I mean, I sent in a tape for one of the characters in it, mm-hmm. and the casting director, who I hadn't ever met. Rachel Tenner, who I owe so much to, and Rick Messina, the two of them, I'm so grateful to them because I'd never gone in for an audition with them. Yeah. They mm-hmm. saw a tape of mine. They said, you know, this was good, but he's not right for this, but he might be right for this guy.
Yeah.
And they have no, you know, they don't need to do that.
Right.
So many people are trying to get a role sure. in the show.
Because was Clooney already attached at this point?
Clooney's attached. It's shooting in Italy for 3.5 months.
So who doesn't want to do this thing?
Everybody wants. I was.
Yeah.
Oh my, praying that I would get this job.
Yeah.
Any role on the show. And so I sent in another tape and and then heard back shortly thereafter.
Just hear from Clooney or just from the casting?
Just people? From the casting director, but it's pretty wild because you know that it's Clooney who said, this is the guy.
He had to sign off on you.
He's the guy.
Do you think he was just sitting there like
Clooney and Grant.
Now, what's this guy's name? Yeah. Jane, can you bring me an espresso?
DeVito.
Yeah, DeVito.
Get out of here.
DeVito's his assistant, or DeVito's just always with him?
He's bringing him the espresso. DeVito just pops out.
Is that coffee?
Wow. Yeah, dude, that's crazy. He signed off on you. That's the first sign of like, fuck. You right? Like, that's, you put that in the, I don't know if you put that on your resume or walk up on stage to that credit, but maybe you do.
You could.
This guy was signed off on by Clooney.
Yeah.
Dude, that guy literally, think of somebody more.
You can't.
That's in the business that you just like want to have a beer with.
He's and, the king.
Or just be in his world, but then also like have the approval of, right?
There's nobody cooler than George Clooney, I don't think.
There's and, not, dude. And,
Brad Pitt.
I'll fight you. No, I don't think so, man.
And then you get cast, and then you're probably thinking to yourself, like, it's shooting in Italy. We're probably going to go on the weekends to his house on Lake Cuomo.
This is what's really funny. So, so I brought two suits with me to on my trip because I thought that Clooney would be inviting me to something where I'd need a suit. I never needed a suit. He never invited me to Como. But it's just funny that I was like, we're going to be on a boat.
Yeah.
I'm going to need a suit.
I'm going to need a suit on a boat.
At least two.
At least two because
fuck, I should have brought three. He's going to see me in the blue one twice.
Yeah, one day we're going to be in a suit activity. He's going to look at me and be like, so are you coming to the dinner with the ambassador tomorrow? I am. Oh. Second suit.
But I didn't get the invite to the Como house, but I wish I had because Chris Abbott, who is the lead, went to the Como house.
Oh, he went to the Como
house. And when he came back, most of my friend Tess was there. I was like, who was there?
Yeah.
I was like, this weekend it was Bono, Adam Sandler, and Jennifer Aniston. And then another weekend it was Sacha Baron Cohen, Stephen Colbert, and somebody, you know.
Is that just like...
And the Prince, I think.
So when Queen Latifah,
Shaq, and Tony Robbins.
Mary, fuck, kill.
Mary, Tony Robbins, obviously. I'd fuck Shaq, and I'd kill Queen Latifah. Just to see what
going a Robin Hood was about.
Okay. Read my mind. That's amazing. That
just
feels
put
like...
cream on J-Lo.
Yeah. That's just like... Is seems that like option? It's the celebrity hotel in Italy. Like when you're going to Italy, yeah. you... you be sure to stop by.
Stay at the Clooney's.
Yeah,
stay at the Clooney's. I mean, he's got like a proper, yeah.
Wow, dude.
Set up there.
So take us through the first meet and greet with him, because
yeah,
that's a nerve-wracking, but also, you know, you're...
Yeah, because I didn't meet him until I was in Sardinia, where we shot the
thing. Been there.
Yeah.
You shot it in Sardinia?
We shot it in Sardinia.
Oh, dude. So I'm guessing
that's a great place.
My friend from college, their folks have some cash. And we went there after Scotland. We did this Fringe Festival trip after USC with an alumni group from SC. And then my friend was like, do you want to come with me and my folks to Sardinia on our plane? And I was like, dating a girl at the time, and I'd already been gone for 8 weeks. And I was like, how long? She's like, another 2 weeks. And I was like, oh, boy. And so she's like, you're really going to not do this? And I was like, I haven't seen my girlfriend in a while. Yeah. And she's like, you going to marry her? And I was like, I don't think so. She's like, well, there you go. I was like, thanks for breaking it down for me.
Yeah, get on the plane.
But Sardinia is one of those like made up Willy Wonka type situations.
Insane. Yeah, like just clear blue water and mountains coming out of the middle. And like, you know, we'd be on a Saturday, we'd be on a boat with Kyle Chandler at one point. We're like docking the boat, jumping off, you know, rocks Dude. Into the water. I remember one day we were just like on a rock. There's like nothing around except beautiful ocean water. And then this boat comes out of nowhere, like ringing a bell, and it's guys with Aperol spritzes and gelatos selling it on this boat. And Kyle's like, I got it. And like jumps in, like swims, and like Coach Taylor brings us.
Yeah, he had a knife in his mouth for no reason whatsoever. Yeah. He's just like, when I dive into the water, I have to have a knife in my mouth.
Filet this bronzino for later, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, and there was a restaurant on an island. The only thing on this island is the restaurant. And we would like go there.
Was it a Buca di Beppo?
It was a Buca di Beppo.
That's the one thing about Italy. They don't change who they are. Like, we are Italian through and through.
And yes, so we kind of hinted at it, but as if you need any more to watch the show, it's a World War II show.
Based on
the novel.
Yeah.
Which is where the phrase Catch 22 comes from, was from this novel. Mm-hmm. I didn't know this. Like, we have so many phrases in our language that everyone's just kind of assumes that have always been there, but it's like, no, they started somewhere
from the book.
Yeah
And the book was going to be called Catch 18, and then there was another book coming out at the time with 18 in the title, so his publishers were like, why don't you change it to 22?
It
has more of a ring to it.
It does.
And
it does.
And it's not it's Catch 22. It's not like it references like a code or anything like that. It's just a made up thing.
Just a made up thing that Joseph Heller came up with. He's a brilliant guy.
Yeah.
Oh, but I was going to say, because you asked me about my first meet and greet.
Oh, right. Yeah,
with Georgia. Yeah, so we're Clooney. In Sardinia, and we did one-on-one meetings with him and Grant. So we're like in the lobby of this hotel in Olbia, which is in Sardinia. And I was just like pacing and panicking because I'm like, oh my God, we're like one at a time. They're like, okay, you're up on deck. Like, and you just go up there and to talk to them.
Yeah.
But like, I just was like freaking out that I was going to talk to him. And I still to this day feel like I never got it right with Clooney. You know, I was just always so nervous around. Like my buddy Pico, who's on the show, went up there in his meeting. We all like recapped our meeting.
Of course.
Sure.
I don't think I said anything.
You wanted to compare notes. You want to make sure. Like,
so is there something I shouldn't say or should say?
Yeah.
Should I bring up out of sight?
I just want to be funny. Can I just be funny? Yeah. Oh my God. And he's got great stories about just everything.
Good sense of humor, right?
Oh yeah.
Ball buster. Yeah, I mean, you hear these prank stories, so you have to assume that he's got a good sensibility.
Yeah, I have a great Clooney story I'll share, but
save it for next time. So John, I want to hear about of course, dude.
Your childhood.
Said nobody ever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell
us
your great Clooney story.
Well, first of all, so Pico's story was that he goes up there and Clooney's first thing, he's like, George said, pull up a chair. Mm-hmm. And Pico's so nervous that he was like, hey man, it's already been pulled up.
And that
also
is amazing.
Which is such a funny thing to say. Also, the chair hadn't been pulled out.
Yeah.
So he had to pull this, and it's like a heavy chair.
And now he has to go and drag it.
So across the hard.
We also would have accepted, I will pull it up if you help me. This chair looks heavy.
Yeah.
But that's too much and not cool.
So not cool, yeah.
Whoa.
I don't think I can lift this on my own.
What did he say George said?
I don't think he remembers what George said.
Yeah, he blacked out after that.
Yeah. And
we would have both tried things with him.
Sure.
And try to like,
I hope you heard that story before your meeting so you can be like, well, at least I'm not going to be as bad as that guy.
I heard it after. Oh. It was more to be like, what did you do? Because I don't think I said anything. You know, I don't think I...
It would be great if like you guys did say that back to back and didn't know. What do you think he would do? Do you think he would be like, either you planned this or if you didn't, you're both fired because I can't handle the similarities. Like you guys are planning your chair responses?
Yeah, that would have been great. I wish I had done that.
Wait, so then what did he like, what'd you talk about? Just the show?
He talked about where we were. Yeah, he just was going through where we were shooting in Rome. Because after Sardinia, we shot in Rome at this place, Cinecittà, which is where Fellini shot most of his movies.
Good Lord.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. And where they shot the HBO show Rome. I mean, it's like an incredible historic thing. Imagine. So we talked about that and just like a bit of the show, but like not much, you know. And then I never felt like long enough, and I never felt like I got anything in there. Grant Heslov went to USC. Yeah. He brought that up, and I was like, "Yeah, fight on."
Yeah.
you know how good they are at that football.
Yeah. During the actual filming, how much interacting do you get with them when you're not maybe doing a scene with them? You know,
well, I'm always like aware of where George was at all times. You know, like
Chris, the lead
made
right?
fun of me because one time I was just like watching Kyle and George talk, like from across, and then, like my jaw dropped, and he's like, "Dude, what are you doing?" I was just like, "What?" You know, I couldn't help.
They're beautiful.
I was just like, you know, in awe of these guys. You know. I would go up to George and even if it was something he wasn't directing, I loved to like hear his thoughts on what was going on. And he always had great input and always had great stories. You know, if I ever, I was like, you know, what was it like working with David O. Russell? He's like, let me tell you about that motherfucker, you know? And then he's like, because they got in a fist fight on Three Kings.
Oh, he's got like,
they got in a whole fight during that
Over
movie.
What?
An extra, I think like an extra was I forget what had gone down exactly. I'll screw up the story.
Yeah, I bet he has just been on so many sets. I mean, dude, he's probably got ER stories for days.
Oh yeah.
Did he talk about that at all?
He told the story about Spielberg guest directed an episode, and he came up to him and he said, you know, if you stop moving your head so much, you could be a movie star.
Yeah. Whoa. That's right. He does. God. He still kind of does that.
He moves his head a lot.
But now he's a movie star, so he can move his head however much he wants. He's probably doing it in spite of Spielberg. He's doing the Spielberg head swivel.
Fuck you, Spielberg.
Every time he shakes his head, he's like, fuck
he
you,
is
Spielberg.
A bobblehead.
Yeah.
He's a bobblehead.
God, if Steven Spielberg told me something like that, the next day on set, my head would be as stiff. Like
I'd wear a neck brace. Yeah.
Yes. Give me scalpel. Stat. Like, you're just not moving your head at all. Yeah. Be like, cut.
It's like, Brad, your interpretation of Ken is not what I thought it was going to be.
You said you had a great story. I want to make sure we get to it.
So, we're out on the friggin' tarmac, like, shooting a scene, like, with these World War II planes. George comes up and, like, leans on the hood and is just like telling us about how he sold Casamigos for $1 billion. And then
does he bring that up casually or does he just go, Casamigos, what'd you say? Oh, that's a funny story, actually.
Casamigos.
Yeah. Did he like alley-oop himself for conversations?
He's like, tequila, Solisa.
Yeah. Oh, did
tequila.
Did somebody mention Cindy Crawford? Oh, yeah, her husband is my partner for Casamigos. So let's just talk about that for a while. You're like, oh, fuck, George. Okay.
By the way, I love the stretch and the Jewish shout out you were trying to give there. Some sort of Yom Kippur, like,
I did
he's
Yom
playing
Kippur.
It. He pulls out a shofar.
I just realized,
goes,
I'm like, that's very niche. Yeah.
He goes, what do you guys do? What do you do when you blow a shofar? Tequila.
Anyway,
Casamigos. I just sold that shit.
What's that song? Oh, that's tequila. It's made of tequila.
It's out of sight, this tequila. Yeah. He just starts naming movies.
All of his titles. Wait, so then.
If you drink too much, it'll send you right to the ER. Oh, speaking of that show. Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, my, it's so good, Michael Clayton would drink it. You're like, okay, that's a stretch.
That's a fun game.
He started telling this story, and I forget how it came up, but he was saying, oh, you know, when I was growing up, I always got picked on by this guy, Daryl Tucker, always picked on me. Like, he grew up in a small town in Kentucky, and he's like, even when I go home, he's like, I can never stand up to him for whatever reason. I can never stand up to him. He's like, even when I like go home as like an adult, you know, like after ER, be like, oh, big time Hollywood, Clooney, Daryl Tucker would still be picking on him. And then, like, after he sold Casamigos, he got a call from the mayor of Augusta, Kentucky, or wherever he's from, you know, and said, you know, George, you're just about the most successful man to ever come out of this town, and we'd love to honor you and name a street after you, you know, at like whenever they have some event every year. Sure.
And, town fair.
Yeah, like, it's like a town fair or something. And we'd like to name a street after you. We were thinking of naming it, you know, changing the name of the street your folks are on, in a Huckleberry or whatever, you know. He said, does Daryl Tucker still live over on, you know, Huntington or whatever, you know? Does Daryl Tucker still live over there? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I think I'd like to change the name of that street.
No so fucking
now,
way.
Now every time Daryl Tucker receives a check, has the right thing, his address is to George Clooney Avenue.
Oh, my God.
That, well done, George.
What a Yahtzee power play fucking Mortal Kombat finish him move.
Doesn't get cooler than that.
Yeah. You live on my street.
I mean, you can burn
the
guy's
street.
House down, but that's probably too much.
I mean, at this point, that bully has to burn down his own house just so he can move to another street.
And then Clooney buys that street, too.
He just follows
gets his name.
Why is there 40... Oh, now it's Clooney Town, bitch!
Why is there 42 George Clooney ways in this town? This guy keeps moving.
That's a great story.
Is that wild? I mean, that's the ultimate Clooney tale there.
Yeah, I would open every, if I, you know. But that's probably, you know, in his pinky of tales from the past, you know.
Oh yeah, he's got it. Just a bunch.
Did he quiz you about SNL or you know just your experiences? Was he?
We talked
did you
about
get
SNL
to talk comedy because he seems like
we talked about SNL once.
Yeah,
and I just asked him when he hosted, and it was a fairly quick chat. Just kind of tells stories.
Sure, gotcha. And that's fine to listen.
Yeah, totally.
Dude, you could really just take out a phone, record him, and then later edit in questions and make a podcast.
Here's my podcast with George Clooney. Very first episode.
I'll bring it here so you guys
can. There you go. Please do. And we'll just say, tell us about, and then we'll just sit back.
Yeah, that's
and
perfect.
He'll just go.
And he's got it, you know?
That's
and
amazing.
It's always like, you know, it was me, Matt, and Brad. You know,
the Rat Pack, right?
First name stuff.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Now, be honest. I know this is going to be a really difficult thing. Which was cooler for you, working with George Clooney on your new show, Catch 22, now available on Hulu, or doing goat yoga in Austin, Texas?
I have to say goat yoga. It's pretty exciting. Getting that call.
Sorry, Clooney.
Getting that call from my agent, there's nothing like that. And it was on speakerphone. My friend was there. I emceed goat yoga at Moon Tower.
Oh, I thought you just participated. You fucking hosted it.
No, he hosted it.
Emceed it.
Yeah.
I got a call from my agent's assistant because not important enough for my agent.
The agent doesn't make the goat yoga calls.
Not yet. Not until you get a season.
Are you comfortable with goats? Was the first question. I think the first question
please
was, do you like yoga?
Please
do you like yoga? I'm like, sure, yeah.
Please tell me you responded with, yes.
I think I said.
And then they dropped you.
I think I said, who doesn't? Well, I said, probably a little too much.
I mean.
John, this is serious. Bestiality is something our agency is dealing with more often than you think.
Don't knock until you try it. I hear it's not bad. You know, just.
Whoa, that's a sheep, okay? You are fired from animal noises. Whatever.
In all fairness, I didn't know the difference. between the noises. I know the difference between the animal.
Yeah, well, they feel different. So, John.
from the inside.
Yeah.
So, what we're saying is. One's way tighter. Oh, so, what we're saying is that.
But wait. So, goats do yoga?
Me too.
Or are you. That's the winner.
That's
the winner.
Me too. Perfect.
Wait a sec. What you're doing yoga and they're just sitting around you, or the goats are doing yoga with you, or you're sitting on a goat? How are they involved?
So there's yoga, and then goats are walking around and they get on people's backs and stuff. They just naturally will hop on your back while you're doing
to like
it.
Massage you, or just
this is a thing? No, just to walk around.
Is it calming? I'm having a tough time understanding why you need them there.
It's just distracting, and then they wanted me to MC it.
Right.
So doing a show in the middle of the day, hard.
Already tough.
Right.
Performing at goat yoga, impossible.
Yeah,
well, with that so attitude.
Sure.
Just so distracting.
It's like, I'm not
also,
paying attention.
Also, they were like 10 minutes into it, and I was like, do you guys want me here? And they're like, oh, yeah, the mic's right over there.
Jesus. Like, so do I start? Do I lead the class? Like, what? Who pays attention when a goat's on their back?
I was not doing well. The yoga teacher was killing. Mostly by roasting me. She's like, are you going to say something funny?
Oh, jeez.
And we're going to take it to a sun salutation. You know, we'll take it to a warrior.
Did you have, like, goat puns that she was killing you with? Like, I think it would behoove you to get into this position.
That's funny.
She had a couple of those. That's bad form. And, killing. And then I'm just there, like, not knowing what to do with myself. But that was a real conversation from my agent, my agent's assistant, asking, like, wait, what is it? Explain it to me.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, how much are they paying? And they're like, nothing. And I was like, all right, sure.
I'll do it.
Yeah, I guess so. I was like, did they ask anybody else? Like, no, you were their first choice. I'm like, that's because they knew I'd say yes.
But hey, you got some incredible Instagram photos.
That's true. I got a couple good Instagram photos.
Yeah. And
you got to do stuff like that for the material, for the experience, you know, and you've never been one to shy away from, like, you know, not saying yes to new things, you know?
I try to say yes to.
It helps for the stand-up. Have you written a bit about it?
Though, when you're like, oh man, I shouldn't have said yes to this.
Of course.
Sure.
But those terrible gigs are the best stories.
Yes. That's, I mean, when we all get around and talk at comedy clubs or at festivals, we're not telling stories about the time we killed in front of the whatever. It's like, no, we're telling the stories about, oh, have you ever done a daytime show when your audience has goats on their back?
Yeah, that's
like,
way more fun.
Can anyone beat this one?
That's true. It's really true. Yeah. I mean, the bowling alley in Muskegon, Michigan that I performed at, I talked about.
You mean...
You've been?
I'm going back.
No,
God. Well, Brad couldn't.
Why would you do that?
Because he couldn't get booked at Goat Yoga. Take it easy.
Listen,
you probably pack it out. Pack it out?
Yeah. We did 2 sold out shows last time, but
very
we're going back.
Experience for me.
Oh, I mean, did you tell them that the goats were opening up for you?
Like, if I had brought the goats, I could have killed. I can't believe it. So you've done it. You've done it already.
I'm going back.
It's the only time I ever got chased off stage.
Chased.
Chased. And it happened twice. The same woman chased me off stage twice. She came to the first show and the second show. She was so hammered, she forgot that she was offended.
I love that.
The first time.
I love that so much.
By the same jokes.
Same jokes?
Yeah, Trump stuff. And this was before the election.
Yeah. Wow, this is very
I think, you know, we lost because of Michigan. I think, like, Muskegon, you know, I think it was, like,
a big
close.
Factor.
Or Muskegon
for sure.
Might have voted blue, but
yeah.
Michigan was close. And I said I knew, you know, because of that my show at the bowling alley. I could tell. They were militant. They were pissed.
Wow.
I made a couple of Trump jokes, chased off stage.
See,
wow. Chased out of the bowling alley.
That's not fair.
Like, now, how does this situation develop? So you make the joke and... Does she get up just like, not today, or like run after you, or what happens there?
I remember she had her rum and cokes like stacked. Like she had
like trophies?
Yeah, exactly.
That's not a good sign.
And I just forget. I was like, you're pissed, huh? What are you going to come up here and chase me or something? And I think it just happened. It was a couple years ago now, so I can't quite remember, but... And I tried to forget it.
Yeah, you kind of blocked out.
I also threw up on the front lawn of the Hampton Inn after that because of the mozzarella.
Who hasn't done that?
It was rough. I can't believe you're going back. And the green room is just the guy's office, which had dirty undies on the floor.
Of course it did, dude. Well, that's, you know, that's initiation. That, dude, those green rooms are always the worst when it's like, hey, we don't really have a green room. You can sit in my stepdaughter's car out the back and just the
it's got a heater.
It's got a heater, man.
Don't look at her. Why is she in the car?
It's got a CD player.
Grab my undies there.
Every Dave Matthews Band album. That's madness.
Do you have any questions for my mother?
I mean,
well, here's what I have to wrap this up, but I want to do a part two with your mom, full on at the desk. So that's why I've been bashful to. If you're going to be here, we want you on mic on the table. Say hello.
Hello.
She could have not sounded more like a Jewish mother with that hello. Hello.
No, I want a full on at the table.
Yeah, because I feel like that's a good.
We need some.
Everything you need to know.
How long are you here for?
Talking to her.
I'm tomorrow.
Okay, and when are you coming back?
When we fly her first class
when she comes back,
dude, we come back.
And I'll be married by then.
Yeah,
well,
of course.
Yeah. That'd be amazing.
And we'll just have questions about Lil Jon.
Yeah, that's right. Oh my God, I'll have a kid too. This is
No,
or the rapper.
No, the rapper. We're just gonna talk about the rapper the whole time, gotcha. And then because we know that she's an expert.
Yeah, right. My mom knows everything there is to know about Lil Jon.
Cast 22 streaming right now.
Yes. On Hulu. Check it out.
Yeah.
Check it out. Go back. Watch your set on Conan. It was fucking brilliant.
Thank you. Yeah, check out the Conan stuff.
Barstool Sports retweeted something.
Yeah, they posted the quarterback, which was awesome.
Yeah, which was great. I'm thrilled
about that. I talk about working with Clooney on the couch, and I got some fun couch stuff. I do a little talk show host bit with Conan.
Yeah, that was my favorite. I texted you after that. That was just so brilliant. Any couch time with Conan is the best. And when you can make him laugh, and like he just took it on, he was like, yeah, I do all that. Yeah.
I mean, that was the coolest. That was the best. Yeah. I was freaking out. Thank you for texting me. Always.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I didn't text you about second act. I feel like
well, that's what I wanted to bring you here for. Not to play your shit.
Hey, man. Chastise. Never heard of that, you man. J-Lo can take a cream. You can't give me a call. The name of this episode, J-Lo can take a cream.
Oh, it is now, but she'll now never do the podcast.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Man, what's up, dog? This is your pal Bugs Bunny. Say, I got a question for you. Do you know who has the head of Elmer Fudd and the body of Foghorn Leghorn? Why, that's Adam Ray and Brad Williams. Ain't I a stinker?